WIJSF.com. Women in Jazz South Florida, Inc. is a nonprofit educational organization that promotes women musicians globally through events, concerts, performances, clinics, lectures, workshops, articles, interviews, newsletters, courses, contacts, research, history, archives, websites, film, audio and video recordings, and recognition. Visit us at WIJSF.com. You're listening.
31 minutes now past 10 o'clock, and we're speaking, as I said, with Joan Cartwright and Kim J. Thank you. It's called Tough Love and comes from the Women in Jazz South Florida Music Collection, Volume 6. It's by an artist called Debbie Pierce. And let's see, we've got artists in the studio tonight, and we'll hear more about what's going on there with Tough Love. Let me introduce to you and ask them to introduce themselves to you. We've got Dr. Joan Cartwright and Kim Jay. Joan, what's going on? You chose this tune, right? The Debbie Pierce tune that we just heard?
It opened our last project.
Okay.
And actually, I didn't hear it until I was sitting in a friend's BMW and the sound system. And it blew me away because I had been listening on my little laptop without speakers, mm-hmm. right? And so it just blew me away. And I said, wow, this is a way to open a CD, you know. So that's Debbie Pierce. And she's up in... where does she live? Up in West Palm Beach somewhere, Royal Palm Beach, the Acreage.
Okay.
Yeah. And that was her first recorded project. Now, you've heard Brad Keller. You know Brad Keller?
Not
the pianist.
Offhand.
His father, Judge Keller, was a great pianist mm-hmm. also. And I worked with Brad for years up in Broward. So he's on it with her with... you know, we women work with male musicians because, especially in South Florida, you can't find women that are playing drums and bass. You know, you find mm-hmm. a couple of pianists, but not bass and drums. So Debbie's got a powerful band, and it's mostly men, but she's a saxophone player, and she's playing. She's playing her heart out. And she's going to be our new program director coming September when we change our board.
Okay, hold it. Stop right there. You've given us an awful lot of information. I want some specific information from you right now. Please introduce yourself to my friends in Radio Land.
Okay. Well, my name is Dr. Joan Cartwright, and I'm a new doctor. I just got my letter conferring my doctorate this week. And my doctoral dissertation is Women in Jazz, Music Publishing and Marketing. And for 20 years, I've been promoting women musicians, teaching in schools in the Tri-County area, also in China and Japan, teaching them about women in jazz and blues, starting with Ma Rainey through me and a whole lot of women in between. I have a book called Amazing Music Women that you can find online. In 2007, 10 years ago, I founded Women in Jazz South Florida.
Why?
Because for 34 years, I had only worked with 6 women and hundreds of male musicians, including Dr. Lonnie Smith and Freddie Hubbard. And Freddie Hubbard recorded a tune I wrote called Sweet Return in 1983. And several, you know, Lou Donaldson. I can't think of all the musicians now. I'm old and tired. But anyway.
But if folks Google Joan Cartwright, they'll find out.
Yes, they will. So I decided that I was going to be in search of women instrumentalists. That's how I came across Kim Jay, who's a saxophone player, and she plays the e-wee.
Electric wind instrument.
So, okay, yeah, sit up there, Kim. Tell us about yourself.
Hi, my name's Kim Jay, and I came to Florida back in 2007 the first time, and then came to stay in 2009. I've been involved in a lot of projects. I met Joan. How did we meet? I don't remember, but it was fascinating.
I'm pretty sure there was music involved.
Yeah, it was fascinating ever since, you know, And she's a great teacher, a great mentor. She's teaching even when she's not teaching, you know. Just being around her, you just absorb so much from her. And I love her dearly because she's a really cool, really cool doctor now. Yeah, you know, so me, I've always... love jazz. From 9 years old, you know, my mother played modern jazz quartet while my father played Eddie Palmieri and Willie Colon, you know, and my brother was in the back doing James Brown and the other thing, but it was the jazz that just captivated me. And the first time I heard My Favorite Things by John Coltrane, I just knew I wanted to play that instrument, even though I didn't know what that instrument was, you know. And ironically, up in our attic, I found an alto sax, and I drug it to school, and the bass player, who was our music teacher, he was a bass player, Mr. Hodges, he said, what he got there? I said, I don't know, but I want to play.
Where was this, Kim? Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Hempstead. I was born and raised in Glen Cove, Long Island, and I grew up in Hempstead and at Prospect School, where Mr. Hodges taught music. That's where I first got my taste of music. He showed me a couple of things, and then I've been going ever since.
We're going to hear some of Kim's work in just a few minutes. Kim's tune is, one of Kim's tunes is up next. But let's back up just a little bit and talk about some of the things that Joan and the organization have been up to. I want to hear about this doctorate in women in music. Tell us about that.
Ooh, well, I'm going to read a paragraph, if I may. Okay. So this is the implication from my study with women, with 20 women jazz musicians in the United States between the ages of 30 and 64. Okay, since the turn of the century, women jazz musicians have become more visible on the jazz scene, yet the male-dominated environment remains highly challenging for women that fail to educate themselves about the business of music. That includes branding, marketing, product promotion and sales, fee negotiation, leadership, teamwork, and networking. Every person that embraces musicianship as a career should use these business skills. But in the United States, women musicians, especially in the jazz genre, have not been properly educated in the business of music. These challenges and practices were the focus of the study.
I didn't even know it was possible to get a doctorate in such an obviously necessary discipline. Please tell us about your path into this study.
Well, I'm a doctor of business administration marketing, and because of the intensity of my involvement with women musicians globally, our organization has 315 members. 182 of those are musicians, and 162 of those are women.
Yeah, which means that not all of them are women.
No. No, we have 58 men, and if you
subtract
180...
some of our best friends are men.
What'd she say?
Some of our best friends are men.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, that's a different interview. But anyway...
We were doing subtraction. You were talking about the numbers of women in the organization.
So if you subtract 182 from 315, do the math, that's how many supporters we have. So people like you, you're not a musician, but you're a music promoter.
So call me an ally. I think that's what they say in the movement. If you're not one, but you are very supportive. Yeah.
Yes. You. So we have... what's 315 from minus 182? I haven't figured that out
anyway,
yet.
It's a bunch of responsible
people. It's 100 something.
Mm-hmm. Who are supporting women in their endeavors.
Yes, but what does that mean? They pay $50 membership per year.
Right. Oh, keep yes. going. But, you
but
have
we
members.
Are a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. And so we have garnered grants from Broward Schools, Miami Beach Cultural Division, Broward Cultural Division, and other, you know, places. And we're going to be looking at a sizable grants this year from various funders.
Okay, tell us about some of the things you've been doing up until this point.
Okay, well, we just did Amazing Music Women with four women at the Ally Cultural Center in Pompano. And a few years ago, I had an 8-piece band that did the Amazing Music Women presentation at the Vienna Center in Fort Lauderdale.
I think I was there for that.
Well, one
I
of
might
them
have been. Yeah, tell us about that presentation, please.
Okay, well, that would you were the one on Sistrunk. Okay,
I remember being at Vienna's as well, sitting in the audience.
Oh, okay. Well, it was dark. I didn't
Yes, I did not stand up and wave. But for those of us who weren't there, it was really interesting to me because you had a lot of historical. There was a lot going on. I learned a lot. Mm-hmm. So please tell our listeners, tell my friends, what's in that presentation, what the basis of it is.
Well, it starts out with Ma Rainey. Of course, vocalists have been the most prevalent and visible women in jazz. Okay, the voice is relegated to the female. However, people like Dorothy Donegan, Mary Lou Williams, Melba Liston. These are some of the Marion McPartland, Toshiko Akiyoshi. We talk about these women because, you know, there are many, many, many women musicians, but because of the lack of business skills, they have not been as visible as men. And of course, men work in teams. Women are individualists. They're raised to be individualists. Okay. They cook alone. They clean alone. They take care of their kids alone.
We take care of other people. That's what we're raised to do.
Yeah. Alone. So men, however, work in teams, baseball, basketball, football, whatever. But then when they get into the band situation, a lot of women don't know how to really work with men, even the singers. And the thing that I fought the singers with the most is that they don't learn music theory. They don't learn the rudiments of music. So they'll say to the guys, oh, well, I do it like this. You know, well, is that 4/4 time, 3/4 time? Is it a bossa nova? Is it swing? Is it funk? You know, how are you doing this? I don't know. It's like this. No, it's not like that. Learn music theory. And that's what I got from my music teacher in Philadelphia. First thing he said to me on the first lesson was, all musicians hate singers. And I looked at him and I said, well, why am I here? And he said, because I'm going to make you a musician. My first piano lesson, I developed that lesson over 4 years, and it became Sweet Return on Atlantic Records by Freddie Hubbard in 1983. So, yeah, it pays to learn music theory. Anyway, Amazing Music Women starts with Ma Rainey, goes through Alberta Hunter, Bessie Smith, Billie Holiday, Ella Fitzgerald, you know, and then I, you know, saw pepper in the female instrumentalist. Very few people know about Dorothy Donegan and what a monster she was. And that, it's escaped me. This Oscar Peterson said that Dorothy Donegan could play him under a piano.
Watch out there now.
And mm-hmm. She could. And Mary Lou Williams is a mother of bebop. Most people do not know that she taught Dizzy,
Bird,
Monk, and I think Mingus, mm-hmm. the flatted fifth, Sonny Rollins, mm-hmm. the flatted fifth. And that was the basis for bebop because it was a step that you go this way or that way. So the land of Ubladi, you've heard that. That was Mary Lou teaching bebop. But because she was a woman, she didn't get credit for it, you know. Even Rhythmning by Thelonious Monk was a riff that Mary Lou Williams used to play, and he took it and made it Rhythmning, you know. So you have to be conscious of the fact that there were many women players, but they didn't get the opportunities or the credit that men got in the jazz genre.
Let's back up a minute. To your beginnings, you mentioned that your first teacher taught you that you were going to become a musician rather than a singer. How did you find yourself in that music lesson in the first place? What took you there?
Oh, well, I had been living in Florida, and I left Florida, went to Philadelphia, and I found this group of avant-garde musicians, and I would sing with them, but I was singing avant-garde. You know, and at the time, actually, I had a tape, and Hugh Masekela heard my tape, and he says, are you an opera singer? Because my voice was really high, you know. I said, no, I'm a jazz singer, you know. And I learned jazz as a child. John Coltrane.
Exactly.
Milt Jackson, Bags exactly. and Train. I was 12. That was the first album I ever owned. And also, I grew up swimming in Count Basie's pool, and Bud Johnson was my babysitter from 4 to 8.
So, okay, I guess the real question then is, how did you manage to put off that music lesson so long?
Yeah, so I was like 27 when I met Gerald Price in Philadelphia. I had taken piano lessons. I had been in the choirs. I had, you know, I had never formally taken like a music class, but I was in the marching band. I played drums, glockenspiel, flute, saxophone, piano. You know, I was just a musician from the age of 4 years old. And I was strung out on the footlights on the stage, but I was dancing. It was different. So I started as a dancer, and I had three dance troupes. One in Deerfield Beach, one in San Francisco, and one in Tampa. But we were always dancing not to jazz. We were dancing to R&B, you know. Mm-hmm. But then when I went to Philly, Philly is a jazz town.
Yes.
Most John Coltrane, Lee Morgan, so many of the musicians. We were talking about the saxophone player earlier.
Come back to the mic,
Grover Washington. Hundreds of musicians came out of Philly. Mm-hmm. So the guys from the avant-garde group, they were the ones that say, you really need to be with a piano teacher and learn piano. And they sent me to Gerald Price. And I never looked back. Everything that man taught me just opened doors.
And now you're sharing the things that you've been picking up since that time with other women. I'm speaking with Joan Cartwright and Kim Jay of Women in Jazz, formerly South Florida. I'm looking here on the website, Women in Jazz in South Florida is crossed out. Now it's Women in Jazz Global. You can visit the website at wijsf.org. There's a link to it up on the Real Tracy Fields Facebook page. And we happen to have one of those Women in Jazz right here with us. That would be Kim Jay. Kim, I think it's about time we heard one of your tunes. I think the one you have chosen for us is called
Trinity.
That's right. Please tell us about it, and why did you choose this one?
I wrote the tune back in 2006. I think it's a more jazzier piece than the other pieces that are on the CD. I have a couple of covers on there, you know, but that's, I don't know, that speaks to me. Trinity
right.
Speaks to me.
Tell us about this album.
It's at home studios. It's something that I did at home in my own home studio. And it's a compilation of different music at different times. There are, I think, maybe four originals on there and then four or five covers. And those covers are pieces that I really like, because the one thing about being a musician for me is that I'm able to play the type of music that I like.
That's important.
And so that's really what it is for me.
Yeah, I was turned on to Kim's music through Women in Jazz South Florida. I have received over the years a number of the compilation albums that the organization has put out and have played Kim's music here on Evening Jazz. Why don't we do that again right now? Here's Trinity by Kim Jay. Thank you. Kim J with one called Trinity. This is WLRN and HD1 Miami, WKWM and HD1 Marathon. Kim is here in the studio in the igloo with me tonight, along with Joan Cartwright, and we're talking about women in jazz, South Florida, and the world. Kim there with Trinity from an album called It's Not a Secret Anymore.
Not no more.
Not anymore. So, Kim, tell us, if you would, about getting involved with Women in Jazz South Florida. As I said, your music came to my attention through a compilation CD that I got from the organization. You've been involved with WIJSF for a while, so tell us about that.
I got involved with Women in Jazz through Joan Cartwright. She wasn't a doctor then. She's Dr. Joan Cartwright now. And the first CD, I was on the first CD, and I had written a piece called Eternally. And it's a very dark, minor type of song. It was written out of, I'll just say I wasn't in a good space. But that particular piece helped to bring me to where I am now. You know, most of my music now is very happy and up, and I write things that, I don't know, I guess kind of balm the soul, you know, when, you know, with so much going on in the world and stuff, we need something, and music is it, you know, but we need music that uplifts, you know, feels the feelings of people and can soothe them in some kind of way. And I was talking with my nephew, and he said that I have the music that I write is like a new genre of music, and he said you should call it something, you know. And I was like, wabi-sabi music. You know, because it does, it just makes
wabi-sabi.
Yeah, wabi-sabi,
because sabi is a nickname that one of my aunts gave me when I was a kid. And and in Japanese, wabi-sabi means new, influential, you know, soothing. So I said, well, that's what I'll call it. If I ever get a chance to, you know, put it together like that, I will call it wabi-sabi music.
You know, this is very interesting, because this dissertation, Women in Jazz Music Publishing and Marketing, will become another book in the secular world. And I'm not going to give the name because somebody going to steal it. But a part of it will be the importance of the messages in women's music. And you set it out beautifully, because I believe that men's music is aggressive, competitive, conflicting, mm-hmm. a lot of it.
Yeah.
Not all of it, but much of it, particularly the more modern,
yes.
you know, hip hop and rock and
yes.
all of that. It's very... almost destructive, and it's because it's all in A440, and A440 is not the frequency that we should be playing it. Mm-hmm. A432.
Okay, I bet you better break down A440. I have not spoken about that
all
for
I can
a while,
say
so.
Is go to YouTube and look up the videos about the difference between A440 and A432.
Mm-hmm.
But women's music is more nurturing, just
yes.
like women. It's nurturing, it's uplifting, it's not competitive,
exactly.
it's harmonious.
Exactly.
You know, now you can say that men's music is like that, but you certainly can't say that about bebop.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
You cannot. You know, some of, like Hubert Laws, perhaps, Carlos Jobim, Ellington, you know, and there's another composer that comes to mind, but can't bring the name up right now. But the bulk of male music is aggressive and competitive. And so the tables are turning towards women's music, because we need upliftment and nurturing. We need love, more love in the world. And so the messages in women's music is very important. But let me give you a statistic. In the $27.5 billion music industry globally, women only make 12% of that money. So I see that as an opportunity. Because if I can help to raise that percentage to 20%, by the time I close my eyes, I will have done a good job.
I'd say.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at this book that you brought in with you, the third catalog of Women in Arts and Women in Business. This is from last year, so I can only trust that this is part of your effort to increase the market share for women in the music industry. Tell us about it.
Okay, well, it's the purpose is to bridge the gap between women in the arts, who know nothing about business, and women in business, who know very little about the arts. Mm-hmm. Okay, and this is the core of a magazine that I am hoping to publish one day that I won't give the name of because somebody will take it. But
so I shouldn't have said Wabi Sabi Music.
Right. And anyway, this year in the fourth, we've won four years of free printing from Conquest Graphics, who has a contest every year for nonprofits. At first, it was $10,000. Now it's $20,000. So we started our campaign actually today for next year. But we got $1,500 in free printing this year. So it enables us to print 2,500 of these catalogs. Now, in this year, in August, I'll be putting it out, the fourth one. And I will be putting some editorial, which will be pieces of my dissertation, and also the vision of my new board members.
And where can people get their hands on these items?
Me.
Okay.
Sorry. But so, it is online. They can go to Women in Jazz South Florida, WIJSF.org, and it's right there in the middle of the page. Click it. You can see a video about it. Our advertisers, you know, you could see it online.
They can come through there, contact you, and learn more and get access to the materials. And I suppose, get an ad. I suppose also that the music is available through the website. I'm looking at what I recognize as covers from some of the CDs that you guys have sent me over the years.
Right.
So you mentioned that you're going to be reconstituting your board. And what else do you have on tap?
Well, March 21st, 2018, we got a contract to bring Billy the Musical from Atlanta to the Crest Theater in Delray Beach. And that was written by my daughter. Now, it might sound like nepotism, but of the projects that I presented to Matthew Farmer at the Crest, he chose Billy the Musical. It will be the 103rd. Birthday anniversary of Billie Holiday in April.
Yes.
Okay. So we'll be touring hopefully from March 21st through the first week of April. We're also working on bringing it to the Historical Lyric Theater. So that's because it's 55 miles from Delray.
Yeah.
And then we're looking possibly to take it to Tampa and maybe to Fort Myers.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we'll look forward to that in April of next year. What else you got going on now?
Well,
you just marked your 10th anniversary. Maybe we should talk about the 10th anniversary celebration.
Yeah, well, we had a good time. We were nice. Up at the Lakeside Anchor Inn, and Kim was our musician. And we had a good showing, and we celebrated. You know, we drank a cup of gin, broke some bread, and, you know, put the pictures out on Facebook because I'm a Facebook fanatic. You know, some of the stuff I post has nothing to do with women in music, but we don't want to talk about that right now.
Well, I made the mistake of showing her how to go live.
Oh, no. Yeah, I just learned that at the Allied Center.
So you can find Women in Jazz. That's what I wanted to talk to you about. Okay, as I said, I've always known this group as Women in Jazz South Florida, but it's neatly crossed out here on the website mm-hmm. now. Women in Jazz Global, Inc. Tell you what, let's listen to your tune, Talking That Jazz, and we'll come back and talk about this global thing.
Okay.
Please introduce the song for us.
All right. I wrote this song 10 years before it was recorded in our home studio in Atlanta. It starts out with a rapper by the name of Cola Rum, who knew a lot about jazz. And this is kind of a historical document on my experience as a jazz musician.
It's still a soul song. It's still a soul song. Soul song, it's still a soul song, it's still a soul song. they go.
Conductor, pay set, big band on time.
DJ, MC, hype man, gon' shine.
From Stacy's to Shell Toes, straight A's to Dope Rhymes, Cool Herc to King Cole, Ice-T to X-Stein, Player Daddy-O, Break Beats, Broken Time, Pork Pies and Kangos, Houdini to Earl Hines.
Uptown Harlem at Mittens in Manhattan is where the cats would improvise, while other cats were scatting. Then it moved downtown, where upper classes hung out, to listen to the hip cats talking that jazz. And in the 50s, the lingo crossed the water to Berlin and to Paris, where Baron's daughter understood the story, spoken in all blue notes, fast notes, hot notes, sounding like some new notes. It's still a soul song. It's still a soul song. It's still a soul song. It's still a soul song.
The music was a smash hit and such a sensation, it traveled round the world, receiving thunderous ovations. It soon became a language that everyone could dig because the beat is so hip when they talking that jazz. At 7, I discovered I was imitating Ella and making sounds like Hendrix. Boy, was he a swinging fella. By 17, I dreamt of singing with my own band and talking that jazz in far, exotic lands. Then finally it happened. I vacated Manhattan and took a trip to Europe, where all the cats were scatting. I said arrivederci to my friends in the city, et comment ça va? A mes amis nouveau in France.
It's still a soul song. It's still a soul song. It's still a soul song. It's still a soul song.
It soon became apparent that language was a must. I had to talk to people, boy, did I feel like a klutz. But they could understand me cause I could talk that jazz. And life on earth was really not so bad. And now I go a-traveling, a-singing, and a-swinging, a-bluesing, and a-crooning, happy as a loonin', to propagate the music I make the razzmatazz. I'm walking and a-squawking and a-talking that jazz. Listen to the hip cats talking that jazz. Fast notes, hot notes, sounding like some new notes. The beat is so hip when they talking that jazz. The beat is so hip when they talking that jazz. To propagate the music, I make the razzmatazz. I'm walking and a squawking and talking that jazz.
Talking that jazz, Dr. Joan Cartwright. She's here in the Igloo tonight with Kim Jay, two of the Women in Jazz, formerly Women in Jazz South Florida, and now Women in Jazz Global. Joan, what's up with that?
Well, we have members from 12 countries.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with Angola, Italy, Sweden, Holland, Brazil, but she lives in Sweden. Australia, that's six. I can't remember all of the countries. There's more countries.
It's
Slovenia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Romania, Germany. Yeah.
How have you come to know these women, or how have they come to know you?
Well, I'm the gatherer of women musicians.
Mm-hmm.
So, unlike women in music in New York, I really reach out to women musicians on Facebook. I get to know them. As soon as I see they play an instrument, I ask them, do they compose?
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to be on my radio show?
Mm-hmm.
Which is on Blog Talk Radio, Music Woman. And that's how I've gathered a lot of them. Then other women bring a woman to us. So, for instance, Amy Bormet, the Women in Jazz in Washington, D.C. She and Biggie Vinkolo work together. Well, Biggie is a saxophone player. Amy's a pianist. But she lives in L.A. now. And they worked together. Well, I met Biggie at the We Must Conference in Fuji, Italy, which is Women in Music Using Strategies for Talent. And that's from Foundation Atkins Keaty, Donne in Musica, that is run by Patricia Atkins Keaty. And she's like my mentor. This woman mentored me throughout my whole dissertation. And she's in the book with the Pope. Yeah, because she got the Pope to recognize that women's music was not being used in the churches.
And friends, she's holding up a picture and showing it to me through the studio glass.
She wants you to know.
Just to prove to me.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, I'm going to take a picture of you holding up that picture, Joan, so then everybody can see it.
Okay, that'll be cool. So what my daughter just told me, Mimi Johnson just told me, she said, well, you need to get the Pope, Mom. You can get some recognition then. I'm like, okay, well, we got the Pope. He's in my book.
Okay then. I'm speaking with Joan Cartwright and Kim Jay, Women in Jazz, formerly South Florida, but now global. We're talking about where the organization has been, where it's looking to go in the future. Joan, you mentioned a composers program.
Yes. In 2012, we got a grant from Broward Schools, and we had community composers, which was just Cynthia, Robin Avery, and Paul Bondman, and Melton Mustafa's middle school jazz band, 13, 14 playing our music. Dr. Malcolm Black scored my music and Cynthia's music. And we did it at Dillard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Dillard High
Center
School.
Center for the Arts.
Right.
Yes.
And it was just great. I mean, the music was fantastic. Fantastic. And then we had 20 singers also. Now we did we did community composers at Dillard, but we did this program at Broward Center for the Arts at the small theater, amateur. Yeah, and we had an audience full of, you know, students, and it was just beautiful. We had 20 singers and 35 musicians.
Wow.
And I would just love to do programs like that, but it takes a lot of work and it takes money because you need to pay musicians.
Yeah, I'm a firm believer in musicians getting paid.
Yeah, they think we're supposed to do it for the love of the music, but we love the music, but, you know, we need gas, heat, and light, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of my new lines has become Love Can't Buy Me Money.
Exactly.
Okay?
Yeah. Yeah. Wait till you hear the name of my book. But I'm not telling you because somebody out there going to steal it, you know?
So, Kim, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
What advice do you have for women musicians, aspiring women musicians?
Keep at it. Because you're going to hear a lot of flack, you know, that you're not doing it this way, you're not doing it that way. And I was told, you know, you do it the way you do it. You know, you play what you feel, you play how you feel. And don't get discouraged because you are going to run up to male musicians who are going to tell you you can't do it. I don't know why you're here. You know, you don't play like this. You should play like that. Don't take a solo. These are the things that I heard. You know, don't do this. And it does affect you. But if you know that you want to do this, then you just do it and you keep at it. You know, I'm 60 years old and I'm still at
it.
For I'm
real,
still
though.
At it. Okay. I'm still at it. You know, and I've been blessed by God to be able to be a musician now, because all these other years I had to have a job, you know, and I didn't feel I was good enough because I was told I wasn't good enough, you know. But who knows, had I listened to myself, you know, I might have been a musician all my life.
And where can people get your music, Kim?
I'm on CD Baby. That's where you can purchase. SoundCloud. I haven't done iTunes.
SoundCloud,
sorry.
One of them clouds.
Yeah,
SoundCloud.
One of them clouds,
yes.
You know. And Facebook, I have a Reverb Nation. You know, you can, my music is streamed, so you can pick it up there if you like. And you can contact me. You know, it's, my email address is on my Facebook page and SoundCloud and Reverb Nation.
And it's Kim J, just Kim like
J.
it sounds.
Kim J, yes.
K-I-M-J.
Yes, thank you.
So the latest compilation from Women in Jazz, South Florida / Global, is the sixth volume, and Joan has selected another track from that to share with you now, Friends in Radio Land, Music Collection, Volume 6. This is Crystal Door. Please tell us about this tune, Joan.
This is Nika Raito. And she's a flautist, and she's had a lot of challenges being a musician, a female musician in California. But you're going to love this song. You're going to love this music. So I love it, you know, so play it.
Crystal Door by Nika Raito, and that's from the WIJSF Music Collection Volume 6, the most recent collection from Women in Jazz, South Florida, and the rest of the known universe. So, Joan, let's see, we're up to 6 collections. How often do you put these out?
Once a year, generally in January.
Okay, so we'll stand by for Volume 7 coming up in 2018.
Actually, Volume 7 is one CD, baby, is a digital download.
Okay.
It's the best of 1 through 6.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, now you know where to find your Women in Jazz, South Florida, and other parts of the known universe. And we're here with Dr. Joan Cartwright, recently earned her doctorate. And once again, please, Joan, tell the folks what you studied, what you got your doctorate in, and about your dissertation.
Business Administration Marketing. And my dissertation is Women in Jazz, Music Publishing and Marketing. By the way, I have a songbook of 40 songs. And I always ask the women composers when I interview them, have you ever thought about putting your music in a songbook? Because documentation is the key. But I want to read this, if I may. Okay. The use of information technologies enabled women jazz musicians to have a presence online, but they must also engage in networking to build a supportive team and fan base. And affiliation with mentors and organizations that promote music and musicians is helpful with information and project sharing for more performance and music sales opportunities. And what we're looking at going toward the 11th year is sizable grants for women in the arts. So if anyone knows of a grant that we should go after, please contact me. I'm on Facebook every day, all day. But you can also go to the website.
WIJSF.org.
And our email is WIJSF@yahoo.com. And also go to our website in the left corner. You can join us. And also, you look at our musicians page. We just got Gunhild Carling from Sweden, and she is a monster. She is the Duke Ellington of women musicians.
Okay.
Go check her out.
That's at WIJSF.org. Okay, ladies, as we come down toward the end of our time together, is there anything I haven't asked you, Joan Cartwright and Kim J? And they look at each other. Anything you just want our friends to know?
I think you covered it all. You know, I thank you so much for this opportunity. And I thank Joan, Dr. Joan, Dr. JC, you know, in
Dr.
the house.
Diva JC.
Diva JC, excuse me, you know, for letting me tag along. You know, it's been a really great evening.
Everybody tells me that I should have a church, so I would be Right Reverend Dr. Diva JC. But anyway, if there are any female drummers, bass players, horn players, string players out there, look us up and join us in this work to promote and advocate for women musicians. We're a 501c3, but we're changing in 2018 to a 501c4 so that we can lobby in Washington, D.C. for women musicians. Like I said, we only make 12% of the money, so that's an opportunity.
Yeah, and you thought the pay gap was bad in general.
Oh, it's far worse for women. The statistic is that women in other fields make 77 cents to the dollar. But women in music only make 64 cents. And by the time they get 50 to 60, they're making 60 cents to the dollar. So we need you. We need your help. We need your membership. We need your support.
WIJSF.org. Joan Cartwright, Kim J from the organization visiting with us here in the igloo. And Dr. Cartwright, you have a final selection that you've chosen. This is a tune that you wrote. Will you introduce it for us, please?
Okay, so this is the music lesson, the first music lesson that I had in 1976 with Gerald Price in Philadelphia. And it's called Sweet Return. And it's not about romance. It's about resolving to a 13th chord. So anybody that knows music will recognize. And on this CD is Freddie Hubbard, Lou Tobacken, Joanne Brackeen, Eddie Gomez, and the incomparable Roy Haynes on drums.
Joan Cartwright, Kim J., thank you so much for taking the time to come up and talk with us about women in jazz, South Florida, and globally.
Thank you, Tracy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sweet Return, a tune composed by my guest, one of my guests this evening, Joan Cartwright, Dr. Joan Cartwright. She and Kim J stopped by.